What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello to everyone tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor, to the Nets pick and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. Nobody knows. The pod covers all the same topics our site does, but from a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. And the best part of it all is we're talking about this from a fan's perspective. We'll cover last week's games and major stories, as well as a look to the week ahead. And we'll change things up as the show evolves, so let us know if you want to hear something that comes to mind. So I'm here with Mark Allison. I'm Justin Quinn, in case you guys haven't gotten used to my lovely sonorous voice yet. How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just trying to deal with, not the most exciting week in terms of Celtics news.
Especially not after yesterday, but
I don't know what. Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what it is. It's yeah. Isaiah Thomas not being there, and the rest of the guys not showing up the way they should have been.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were playing well up until the third. I mean, they were running the offense through Al, and everything was going great, and then they just decided to stop doing that and just started launching up three pointers that weren't going in.
Yep, I saw the. The final total of how many shots Marcus hoisted, and that told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah, and let's see, what do we got? Avery Bradley and Rozier were a combined 2 for 12 from three. That's not good either.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just dive into the games. I was going to talk about Isaiah's knee, but we can do things backwards. Why not? Talking about that game, I was actually kind of surprised too, because Jay Crowder was pretty awful. Even though he put up some good points, he was 3 for 13.
Yeah, you know, the I think the most disappointing thing about this weekend to me was you really wanted to see one guy emerge, like, and take over, like, the scoring load with Isaiah out, right? And then so we had Friday. Crowder came out, scored about 24, I think, had a good game shooting. And then on Sunday, Horford had a good game, and he scored 27, I think, 11 for 16 from the field. Good. They were running the offense through him. I really wanted to see, like, one guy be the guy, those two. Like, you know, like one guy that we could say, well, geez, this guy will definitely step up when we need him to. And yet it was kind of like, you know, it was a different guy each game, which I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, and at least in terms of the Philly game, like, it looks like they were trying to all be that guy, but like,
yeah, the shots weren't going down for the other guys, right?
You just gotta know when you're not making it. I mean, like, just let someone else shoot.
And right, and then like, so then they were going to Horford the first three quarters, and then he had like what 15 in the third quarter alone. He was rolling, and then they went away from him. They started shooting, and no one was really shooting well besides him. And yet that's what, you know, part of that's got to go on Stevens. So I don't know how you let those guys just keep doing that when it wasn't working.
I've been noticing he really lets them shoot more than I feel like he should. He really needs to get a little bit more of a hook going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people complain about Horford not being involved as much, at least scoring on offense. And Horford is on the record. I mean, he's totally cool with passing the ball. And it's good. It works fine when it's working. But when he has to score, you see that he can. I mean, you know, he was pounding the ball inside yesterday. If you look at the shot chart, I think he took two threes and everything else was inside the paint pretty much. Almost everything else. Not everything. But, you know, like, I mean, he has the ability to do that. And I think that they should be doing that more often, even when Isaiah's there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when Dario Saric puts up 23 points on 10 of 20 shooting, you know, and Robert Covington seems to have found his stroke back also. Philly is actually not as bad of a team as I think we've become accustomed to thinking of them, even with players like Embiid out and Noel gone.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot of young talent, definitely, for sure. And the problem is it's spotty, like, but yesterday they played well. So, you know, we were on the wrong end of that.
Yeah. And this isn't like the Phoenix game where they just didn't show up to play. I mean, they were actually trying, but I mean...
Mm-hmm. It's just that they just got trigger happy shooting from the outside in the fourth when they weren't going down. And just, you know, that's, you know, like on Friday, even Friday, I mean, they, you know, they should have been able to win that game comfortably. Instead, we're, you know, watching, you know, Brooklyn take three pointers at the end that could have tied the game. And they just were just lucky that they didn't. But in the fourth quarter on Friday, like Crowder came up with a couple of huge shots, you know, when they needed him to. And yep. And yesterday when it was tight at the end, you know, nobody made those big shots.
Well, in the Brooklyn game too, I mean, it very easily could have been a loss. Lopez and Quincy Acey both shot threes in the last couple of seconds, and
right.
If it hadn't gone in, it could have gone the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. I mean,
not to jump on the narrative train too much, but I mean, can you imagine if we had back-to-back losses from Brooklyn and Philly?
That would have been a bad look. Yep.
I mean, it also pretty much nuked any chance for the first seed. Thankfully, the Clippers loss we'll get into that in a second, but the Clippers loss with the Cavs at least put us in a position where we're still in the hunt, and right. Washington's been pretty awful also.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago game was fun.
Yeah, I mean, that was about as good as you could hope to watch.
it was kind of painful to watch towards the end, though.
Yeah, I mean that was what did we start the game on? It was like 11-0 run, something like that? Like
I think
I can't even remember, but it was
Chicago was like 1-19 in the first. I remember we were chatting in game and we were checking with each other to see if the score was actually right, 22-9.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the more ugly offensive, literally offensive quarters of basketball I've seen this season than I mean, it's kind of what we all expected from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're on our home floor. I mean, we should blow that team out. You know, they're not that good. But
well, in terms of shooting also, I mean,
yeah.
Butler was also awful, which wasn't too expected, but it seems like Hoiberg is kind of trying to see what he's got. With what he's got on the roster. I mean, he played Valentine a lot in that game. I think he scored 13, which I don't keep track of them, but it seems like that's the most I remember him scoring against us, at least this season. And Bobby Portis played, played a lot of minutes too. He put up 12 points and 8 rebounds, which, I mean, I don't think he's going to be the star that some people thought he was when he first came into the league, but,
He looks like he could be a starter, though, or at least a you know, role player off the bench, an above average role player.
Taj Gibson 2.0 is the way I'm looking at him.
Yeah, yeah, no, that sounds about right.
So in between the Brooklyn game and the Chicago game, we have the Minnesota game, which was eventful for other reasons. I mean, it was a good game for IT. Apart from the, we assume to be actual bone bruise. You have any? I've heard some rumors of people thinking this is just a clandestine way to get him some rest.
I think he probably banged up the knee, and maybe it's bruised. But I think that, you know, if these games were important, I mean, he would have been playing. I think it's, you know, the you know, they just didn't need him. And maybe they would have sat him against even good teams. But if this was a playoff game, I think he would have been playing, you know, obviously. But I mean, it, like we talked about this last week with the, you know, this was an opportunity to rest him, and you still should have been able to win both games. And they very well could have, you know.
Yeah, this is where I started to see Horford look like he's really starting to feel some late season growth in terms of his game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 points, I think it was 9 rebounds and 6 assists.
Yep. Yeah, and I thought that Minnesota game was going to be a difficult one because of their size, you know, and we don't have great size. But Horford had a huge game, and you know, I think we led that game wire to wire, pretty close to it, anyways, right?
I want to say they tied it. I covered that game. I'm pretty sure they tied it a couple of times, but I don't remember them getting ahead. So I think you might be right.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that game seemed a lot. Yeah, and that team's been playing much better as of late, last month or so. But yeah, they've still got a little ways to go.
I mean, they're looking pretty good, though.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're still – I mean, they're like 3 or 4 games out. Like, they can't make it in the playoffs, right?
No, they're not making it in the West. No, definitely not. But, I mean, they have a good future.
They're probably better than some of the teams at the bottom there, though. It might be. They're certainly better than some of the teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Oh, by far.
Playoffs. And the playoffs, I mean. I don't mean the – I mean the playoff teams.
Seventh or eighth seed at least.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and they got kind of banged up themselves too. I remember Lance Stevenson rolled his ankle in the third. The guy whose name I can't say, Nemanja Bjelica, I think is how it might be.
Sounds good. Yeah,
sure, we'll roll with it. Bjelica.
Yeah, we'll roll with that.
He hurt himself also. He's out. To jump into the topics of the week, the major storylines at least, I thought that might be a good segue to talk about Omri Caspi.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking, according to, I think it was Mark Stein who first reported it.
Yep.
They are just about done setting up a contract with him. And evidently, I feel a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I feel less crazy for saying that Boston should have taken a look at him, because they did take a look at him, evidently. But I guess he kind of felt better with his role going forward with Minnesota, that he might have a future with him, which kind of surprises me, because he's you know, he's in the right time frame for us in terms of, you know,
a team on the verge of competing here, right?
Yeah, and he's like
and still could have probably carved himself a nice role.
Yeah, because I mean, we're probably not bringing back Jarebko. He's probably going to be in the same basic price range with, I think, a slightly better skill set than Jonas.
Yep.
No offense, Jonas. And he is pushing 30. I think he's 28 or 29 years old. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, I mean, that is a better fit in terms of, like, the age curve of this team.
Yeah.
At least for the contending now portion of it. Than it is for most of it, like of Minnesota's active players, most of them are on the younger side of 25.
Yep.
So it kind of surprised me, because I mean, by the time that they are really, really ready to compete, I kind of feel like he's going to be on the decline like 2 or 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe they can offer him more money. I'm not real aware of what their cap situation is in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I wonder how many other teams were interested. I know that the Celtics were at least sniffing around, but I'm not sure who else was in on him either.
Yeah, I didn't hear too much else. I don't think I saw anything. I mean, I can think of some teams that could definitely use him, but I mean, most teams can use a guy who can space the floor like that.
Right.
And at least not a negative defender, if not necessarily a great
one. Yeah, right.
So besides that, after that game, you wrote a story about a particular incident.
Yes, so the same day, right? The popcorn incident. So I'm sure most of you have seen now that, you know, Jaylen Brown had his car filled with popcorn after the game. I thought it was kind of funny. We had some funny comments on the post that with some people that were like genuinely upset about it, and that there was no place for that. I mean, I thought it was kind of a harmless, fun thing. What did you think?
I mean, totally, completely. I mean, yeah, there's good. I mean, hopefully they were smart enough to use air pop popcorn and not oil pop popcorn.
Yeah, someone was talking about the fumes from the oil and the popcorn being harmful to his health. And I'm saying, oh, my God. And then another thing, too, is there was pictures of apparently the ball boys were the ones that got stuck cleaning that up after. But my guess is I did see them. There's photos of them doing it, or it was I think it was Amir Johnson's wife that had it on her Snapchat. But I would be willing to bet that Jalen took care of those guys for cleaning that for him.
Yeah, I also think that some of you guys out there in the NBA media sphere, fans and writers alike, wondering if the exchange in that Minnesota game between Marcus Smart and Jalen had anything to do with the prank. That's just, come on.
I mean, this was obviously something they had planned out much before that. I mean, yeah. And it's, I wouldn't.
Like, go down to the concession stand and buy up all their popcorn.
Yeah, no kidding. And like, I jokingly made up like a list of suspects and, you know, Marcus and Isaiah and all the different people. But obviously, this was more than one person on the team. You know, they must have had some of the guys, you know, some of the people that aren't actually some of the people out of the office or something that actually performed the task there. But because obviously they're all playing the game. So but I it was definitely a collaborative effort, although it's funny to me that no one's taken any responsibility for it, at least not publicly.
I mean, I don't think they need to. It's usually just a team thing. I mean, this happens on a lot of teams. The Celtics have done it before. I've seen it on a lot of other teams also.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people are back down to earth, right?
Yeah, but what do you think about the exchange that happened between Smart and Brown relative to Jalen's recent performance in the last couple of games? Because he's put out a couple of stinker performances since then. I'm working on a piece right now, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll have out later this week. Do you think that there's anything to that theory? I mean, I
have a hard time believing that, you know, the two guys arguing is going to, you know, I think he's got thicker skin than that. But
his feels got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that seems a little crazy. But, hey, I mean, who knows? It's two bad games. I mean, we'll see. You know, he's got a big game tonight. Hopefully he shows up.
What about Isaiah's knee? Do you think that has anything to do with
– So we're still waiting – You mean Isaiah having an effect on Jalen?
Not on Jalen specifically, but the barely beating the Nets and losing to.
Oh,
the
I mean, obviously. I mean, we would have both of those games would have been blowouts if Isaiah played, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, it wouldn't even have been a contest. And I thought it was the one thing that's nice about it is, like I was saying before, like I wanted to see somebody step up and be like the guy, you know. And Horford did it yesterday, and Crowder did it on Friday night, you know, but, you know, I think it's good for those guys to step, like, to play a big role in the offense, like, and be the guy. So, cause someone needs to be the second banana when the, you know, playoffs come, like, in terms of taking the scoring load, because if everyone's going to try and lock down on Isaiah, like they do every playoffs when the game tightens up, you know, we're going to need somebody else to, right, take some of that pressure off of him.
So, based on what we've seen, it's questionable on if that's even going to be enough. I mean, I guess you could say, at least when Crowder had the big game, that his shooting was just absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. So maybe that doesn't quite qualify. But, I mean, even when Horford has like a 27-point outing, that's not enough. I mean, like, what are we going to do when we're playing like Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
Lose is what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough for sure.
Yeah, I think – you know, I know everyone wants to talk about offense and how offense is the big thing, but I think at least for the Celtics, at least this year, continuing to ramp up the defensive progression from midseason to what is now, I think they are just outside of a top 10 defense of the, like 11th or 12th.
Yeah, I think it was 12th when I last looked, and that was before yesterday, so I don't know, it could have changed.
Yeah, I think finding a way to turn defense into offense, mm-hmm, is going to be the best way, because if you can't score, the next best thing you can do is prevent the other guy from doing
right,
too.
Right. Yep. No, I agree. I think that's the way. If they're going to make some big noise in the playoffs, that's how they're going to do it. It's going to be on the defensive end for sure. You know, because Isaiah can carry the offense sometimes, and then sometimes the other guys come up with huge games. Avery has a big shooting night. Jay does, or, you know, Horford gets loose, but But yeah, I think the chances go up significantly when they're playing the brand of defense that we know they can play, just, you know, how consistent they are with it.
Yeah, I don't understand why they have been so inconsistent. I mean, they've been better lately, but I mean, like, we'll see like an occasional lockdown game and then like three or five games of middling to complete bullshit, excuse my language, defense. I can't figure out why.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, but hopefully with everybody back, hopefully we get a nice stretch here where they can finish out, you know, these last, what do we got, 10, 11 games left?
I think about that. Yeah, I don't have the schedule in front of me.
And, you know, hopefully that we can get some run, you know, with the full squad in there and keep improving.
So speaking of the playoff race, we definitely missed a huge opportunity with that Clippers loss.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be, I think, at least a half game closer. So we'd be like one and a half games behind instead of, what are we at, 2.5 now?
2.5 now, yeah. We could have cut it to 1. We could have had it down to 1, and then when the Cavs won last night, it would have been back up to 1.5. But, yeah, so 2.5.
Well, they almost dropped the game to the Lakers. I was watching that in the box score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that with D'Angelo Russell scored like 28 on 40, him or something like that.
40-something.
Oh, 40. That's right. That's right. It was 40.
Right. That's why I was watching it, because I looked at it and I thought it was a mistake.
I didn't see the game. I only saw that he went off on them.
Yeah. I'm actually – that's a little bit of a validation for him not getting traded away by the deadline. I think there were some rumblings about moving him and you know, I don't really expect that from him too often, but that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Besides that, Washington dropped a couple of games. They are dealing with a John Wall injury that they're trying to pretend doesn't exist. And I don't want to wish injury on anybody, but the possibility of us facing Washington against a team that has a healthy John Wall is just a sheer nightmare given the importance of the game. Basically, you know, you can argue with me on this, but personally, I feel like if we lose this game to them, we're going to be battling them for second. And if we win, we actually have a legitimate shot at stealing the one seed, or at least going up against tiebreakers.
Yeah, I think this is a huge game, and I think, I mean, what's the count right now? We are, is it 2.5 ahead of Washington?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so let me see. No, we're 1.5 ahead of them now. So this is, this would put us at 2.5 up or down, or just up one game, I mean, half a game, you know? It's a huge swing.
We still face Cleveland 2 more times, I believe.
One more time, right?
One more time?
Yeah, I believe so. Because they're in the opposite. We only play them 3 times because they're in the
Central.
Yes. So, I mean, and obviously that's going to be huge in terms of whether we can catch Cleveland. And it'll also depend, obviously, on how much LeBron plays down the stretch here. I mean, we saw them already start to rest them the other day. But then again, the Celtics are either resting or Isaiah has a legitimately injured knee, which I don't doubt that he has an issue with his knee. But I mean, I don't know how much it really affects him, you know?
Yeah, bone bruises are tricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a pain thing, I would imagine, rather than him doing more damage to it.
Well, it limits your mobility, too. It causes all the tissue to swell up and get inflamed. So.
Mm-hmm.
If it's fairly recent, it can be pretty impactful. But I'm really hoping that he's able to play.
Yeah, we still haven't got word today if he was going to play. So we're still waiting on that. But they said yesterday he was questionable. My guess is he goes. I mean, but that's a guess.
I think so, too, even if it's just limited minutes. What else is going on in terms of the playoff race? Toronto and Atlanta are still exactly where we left them, which isn't too surprising given how far away they are in terms of games behind, something like 5 and 7, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's still parked in 6th, though they have been playing a little bit better. Milwaukee moved up to 7th seed, and Detroit is back in, last I checked, with Miami falling back out. Though they're tied with Detroit. Detroit has a tiebreaker right now, I believe. And then Chicago is one game back. And the Hornets are basically done. They're about 3.5 games out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then so, I mean, things are shaping up.
What else is going on around the league? Fourth quarter offense has been terrible without Isaiah. That's not a surprise.
Nope.
His 32-game streak, his leading scorer, is technically over. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so who was it? I think Eric wrote on this the other day. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive that he's led the team for 32. Now, is that's a Celtic record?
I believe it is a record, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, though, with all the – well, it's surprising and impressive, I guess, with all the time that Pierce was here, you know, post-Antoine, you know, I guess he doesn't even have a 32-game stretch there with the lead. So that says something about how much scoring that he does.
What do you think about Yabu and Zizek? Yabu is in Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's finishing out the season with the Red Claws. They've got, I want to say, 6 or 7 more games left between now and the end of their season. And then plus possible postseason play. And then Zizek is still finishing out his EuroLeague season, which will go past or finishes at the same time as the D-League. So he's not eligible to come over to Maine this year.
Okay, so just so people understand, Yabusele and Zizek are probably not going – well, definitely not going to play till next year. As far as I'm aware, the plan is to have them play next year, which sounds like they're not going to be – they're going to be trying not to to sign people to replace Amir and Jonas once their deals expire.
It sounds like we got those in – right, those are interior because and don't be surprised if both of those guys even started the year in the D-League. I mean, especially Yabusele, where he's coming from the Chinese League. It's going to be a big jump for him coming to the NBA, whereas the Euro League's a little closer to NBA competition than the CBA.
Yeah, I mean, and this isn't to downplay like the performances they've been having because they've both been really good over there. But it's kind of like NCAA level play with one or two NBA players on the team.
Mm-hmm. Especially the Chinese League is definitely a step down from the Euro League too.
Significantly, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's but they've both been very impressive in both of their leagues. I mean, that's what else do you want to hear? You know, at least they've been. Been doing really well. And the thing about Zizic too, he's playing for David Blatt in Turkey, and so he's got an NBA coach or former NBA coach, so he's learning a system very similar to what teams run in the NBA.
Yeah,
so
that's gonna help him a lot.
Certainly a plus, yeah.
But for those of you who are wondering, particularly seeing Yabusele at the Minnesota game and knowing that he's playing in the D-League, he cannot actually – he could play for the Celtics this year, but he's not going to just because of the fact that
– it would start his NBA clock there. He would lose a year of eligibility in terms of how long they can sign him.
At rookie scale.
On his rookie scale deal, yes. Right. So there's no need to bring – it's. Even if he came up here, it's not like he's going to come up and be some kind of force in the playoffs, you know? So,
I hear your dogs.
Yeah. Somebody's coming by.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah. Mine were going out a little bit earlier. Apologies to you guys listening. We have dogs.
I can't stop them.
Nope. Don't want to stop them. I mean, I don't want to hear them barking, but.
Right.
Yeah. So Yabusele is not coming over this year. The ability to have him on a rookie deal in the future might be literally the difference between signing the free agent we need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So pump the brakes on that a little bit. Other than that, the only thing I can think of that we haven't covered of particularly noteworthy news is the correlation between Marcus Smart's hairstyle and his in-game play.
Yeah, right.
What can you tell us about that?
So, well, I wrote on this last week because if anybody follows the Celtics beat reporters like Chris Forsberg, and in particular Chris Forsberg with this, there's a lot of funny stats that go along with whether Brad Stevens wears a tie and whether Kelly Olynyk's hair is in a man bun or if he's got a headband on. And Marcus Smart has had four different haircuts this year. We've got the French fry top that everybody's familiar with, crazy blonde dreads. He had the braids of maybe 7 or 8 games, I think. His hair was trimmed for a little while, and now he's got like a full-blown cut. And his numbers correlating to those haircuts, it's kind of funny. Like, this is a big sample size for some of them, smaller for others. But he shot the ball better with just his regular haircut. So we're hoping that, you know, his full cut here grows in a little bit between now and the playoffs.
So one other thing that occurred to me, and it's not in the notes, but we probably should talk about it. NCAA tournament.
Yes.
How's your bracket?
Oh, toast.
Me too.
Yeah, bad.
Between Duke and Villanova being out, the only thing I have going for me is Arizona, who I have to win it, is still in it.
Yeah, I lucked out. I had Villanova in the finals, but I moved them back to just the Final Four just before the game started the other day, and I put Gonzaga in the finals. So I've still got my champion and my other finals team. I have Kansas winning it, and I had UCLA, I believe, in the other spot. So I've still got three of the Final Four teams. So I've still got a shot, but I think I'm still not in good shape.
Yeah, me neither. I think I'm pretty low in terms of the ESPN challenge, in terms of percentages versus other people and all that fun stuff. Any particular performances stand out that you tracking potential prospects?
Josh Jackson looks really good. Lonzo Ball looks really good.
I thought they might go down last night, but they're looking all right.
Yeah, I was very disappointed yesterday that my URI, and I'm not a URI guy, I'm a PC guy. I'm from Rhode Island. And I was rooting for the other home team, and they got jobbed yesterday in that game against Oregon. I think the fouls was 28-7, something ridiculous like that. So the big school got the calls down the stretch. It was lame.
Yep. Arizona, I've been watching pretty closely just because, I mean, they have three different potential NBA draft prospects. Kobe Simmons, who we just ran a piece on this week, is looking like he might be able to be a quality second-round pickup. I've heard some rumors that he might stick around and come back next year and try to get into the next round of the draft, which, I mean, I wouldn't blame him. He's got a rough path in front of him with how stacked this draft is, and he's a quality talent. He could, in many years, be a late first round draft talent. And then Alonzo Trier has really picked it up. He started to look good after being suspended for much of the season for that. I think it was an accidental PED, supposedly accidental PED test result. And then the guy who I've been really, really interested in is Lauri Markkanen. I think that's how you say his name. I'm just going with it. Teams have really figured out how to defend him from the perimeter. In the last couple of games of the Pac 10 tournament and the, or is it Pac 12 now? Anyway, His recent performance in the NCAA tournament has shown that he has found ways to keep putting points on the board and being productive. He had like a 10 or 11 rebound performance. Who do they face in the first round? North Dakota, I want to say. I'm impressed. I still don't think he has pushed his way into the top three. I was kind of I was ready to anoint him, but then he had a really not a bad game, but I mean he only put up 11 points and like 3 or 4 rebounds in I think the championship game against Oregon, I want to say, in the Pacific Conference tournament. So I'm pretty interested to see where that goes. I want to see Mr. Ball as he continues through the tournament. Anybody else comes to mind besides Jackson that you're watching for potential prospects?
We don't
get to watch Fultz.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that we don't get to. But you know,
Tatum is out.
Yeah, that's also a shame. But you know,
I thought he was the guy who I was thinking of as a potential like third or fourth pick.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't think that Danny is going to take Josh Jackson with that vandalism situation swirling around him. It kind of seems like I mean, maybe the talent is going to be enough, but I mean, considering the fact that his shooting seems to be fairly streaky, at least until recently. And I don't know. He just doesn't seem like a Danny Ainge kind of guy. What are your thoughts about all that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Danny's had any problems picking guys that aren't, you know, great shooters, or at least, consistent anyways. I mean, I think he's athletic. He hustles. He's hard, plays hard D. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think if we get one of the top two picks, it's probably Fultz or Ball. But
what if we don't? You know, we have a
yeah. I mean, it's
50% chance
we don't end up there. So yeah. And we always get screwed anyway. So we probably won't. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he took Jackson at 3 or 4.
It's really problematic because we have Tatum out, we have Isaac out. The Seminoles ended up getting booted in the last round. Also, you can't really fault the play of Tatum or Isaac in both of those games. They both had good numbers.
Yeah.
But there is the whole question of if you can't get your team into at least the Sweet 16, then like what are you dealing with exactly?
Yeah, right.
I mean, South Carolina was playing out of their minds, so I mean, I guess there's that. It is a one and done scenario, and you know, Duke came with their B game when they absolutely couldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Seminoles play. I just saw that they lost, so I really can't speak to that. But I mean, I looked at the highlights, and I mean, it wasn't Isaac's fault that they lost. You know, I mean, he had something like 17 points and like 11 rebounds or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm real divided about who we would pick if we don't get that top two pick.
Yeah,
I'll be diving into some film just to see what I can see. But as of right now, I'm super super conflicted about what we're supposed to do if we don't get that top two or three pick.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Well, we're running a little bit long, so maybe we should wrap it up. But just wanted to leave you guys with a comforting thought. Larry Sanders is now a Cleveland Cavalier, and so far he sucks.
Big surprise.
Yep. So that should, you know, put a smile on at least some of our faces who didn't want him in green. As far as, you know, the weekly promo plugging, don't forget that at the top of CelticsLife.com, we have links for a huge variety of shirts and hoodies. You can't get them anywhere else. They are distinct to us. And you can even get tickets to the next game under the heading tickets. Real hard to remember, I'm sure. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please, if you have any problems with us, if we're saying too much, like one of our listeners was kind enough to point out, I went back and listened to it. I don't know if we really, really did 40 some odd ums in the first 12 minutes, but we did a lot. So, you know, we're consciously working that into our repertoire, not to...
It's probably me on that podcast, but yeah, yeah. Cool.
So let us know, and we'll do our best to work your suggestions into what we do. But if you do like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars. That really helps us reach more people. And if you have something that you want us to promote, give us a message, write to us, let us know. You can use the hashtag Celtics Life Podcast. We're also running a mailbag this week. So you can use that hashtag or the article we posted if you have any questions about what we've been talking about, or just in general, or just something goofy you want to hear us say on the podcast. Let us have it. And yeah, that's all I got. You got anything to add, Mark?
No, that's it, man. Good stuff.
All right. Well, we'll let you go. And yeah, have a good week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.